Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand spanking new episode of Not Aspirational with Hannah Brown. I'm your host, Hannah Brown, and welcome back, everyone. I'm so insanely excited for today's episode and today's guest. It was truly such a blast to have him on the show. But first, a couple housekeeping things before I introduce today's wonderful guest. Next week, I will be doing a Bravo episode. So I'm going to be discussing this past week's episode of Beverly Hills, as well as Roni, and then next week's Roni as well. The reality of the situation is I am also an actor, and I had a workshop on Thursday night, and I honestly just was like, I can't stay up until 1 a.m. after the workshop is done, watching Roni, then speaking on it, then editing it. Like, I would have been done at like 5 a.m. and the episode wouldn't have been good. So I'm super excited to have this episode this week. And then next week I will go back in on Bravo, as I am gradually starting to move away from it, but don't worry, you will get that content as well. Also, if you don't follow me already, follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter, and at Hannah A. Brown Zero on the TikToks. So now let's get into today's guest. Today's guest, I've been wanting to have him on the podcast for so long, and it was such a fucking honor to have him on, and I'm just so happy we finally were able to make it happen because it was every bit as magical as I could have imagined. We have Troy McEady. Troy is host of the hit pop culture podcast Dunzo, and I actually guested on Dunzo this week. We talked about A Walk to Remember, so check that out as well. He knows more about pop culture than literally anyone I know. I mean, the scope of his knowledge is next fucking level. He's one of the funniest people I know. You will hear, I laughed this entire episode, and we just had a fucking blast chatting it. And we talked about everything. I mean, we talked about which movies Troy would choose if he were to remake the Thank You Next video with himself in it. We talked about the concept of resting rich face. We talked about Dorinda's departure and my video that went weirdly viral this week. We also talk about junior high fashion and the perils of having the right labels in junior high. We also talked about controversial feelings on certain celebrities, including but not limited to Lauren Conrad, and so much more. So I know y'all are going to love Troy. I know y'all are going to love this episode. Without further ado, let's get into it. Here's my conversation with Troy McEady. Oh my gosh, Troy, thank you so much for being here.
It is it's an honor and a privilege. I feel like I'm so blessed right now.
I'm so blessed right now. We have wanted to do this for so long.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need to tell you something now that we're like on the line together, like in real time. I wrote about you in my gratitude journal the other day.
Stop. Are you kidding?
Yes. In the morning, it's like, what are three things you're grateful for? And I was like, my friendship with Troy.
No, like legit, like our late night fucking Instagram DM moments are like, I like need it now.
Me too.
I'm like dependent on it. I'm not even kidding.
Like Ramona to a Pinot Grigio, we need our moments together late at night talking about pop culture.
Because I know that I can message you something really weird and you won't think it's weird.
Oh my, do you ever like, I feel like I know immediately if like I can fuck with somebody because I'll say something like, oh, I just love the feeling of like a dog's paw against my face. And if they say like, that's really fucking weird, I'm like, we're not friends. Like, this isn't going to work out.
It'll never work out. No, it's like, sometimes you just know within like seconds of interacting with somebody that you could very easily be friends.
Yes. And that's what we're doing. I know. Yeah. And I told you this via the DM, but for the listeners, I mean, years ago, Chicago Athletic Club, I'm running on a treadmill. I'm listening to you talk about Heath and Mary Kate. I was like, who is this magical person? And how can I be his friend? And here we are.
That makes me like, it's a really nice thing when you realize that somebody loves you as much as you love them. And it's not like a weird, creepy thing on your part. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I'm obsessed with you. I could literally listen to you impersonate. I don't even know who my favorite is. Honestly, I don't know.
Oh my gosh, out of my impersonations?
Yeah, I don't know. But they're all so, like, you literally embody people. And I can't even listen to your podcast in public because I look like a psychopath, like talking back and like belly laughing to myself.
I feel the same way about you. We could literally do this all
day. I know.
I literally, like, first of all, you're, your wealth of pop culture knowledge is second to none. Like, I think I know, and then I'm like talking to you and I'm like, holy shit, I haven't heard of that Madonna thing, which I still need to watch, by the way.
Oh yeah, Truth or Dare. I knew that you hadn't watched it yet because you would have definitely
I would have told you.
Yeah, I would have known.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just good at Googling shit, honestly. And I'm like Rain Man. I have one interest and it's pop culture, and that's it.
Yes. And it just like it just sticks in your brain because you care. Because
I care about it. Yeah. Like it like becomes something that I obsessively think about. And I used to like when I didn't have the outlet of a podcast, mm-hmm. I don't even know how people withstood me. Honestly, I don't know. Same. You know what I mean? I'm like, how did you have conversations with me before I had a microphone in front of my face?
Oh my gosh. Were you like the friend growing up who was like, I found this weird movie at Blockbuster that no one's ever seen, but I saw it on VH1, like featured in this show. And so now we're all going to watch it. And your friends were like, can we just watch like Just Friends again? And you're like, no, we can't.
I'm like, no, we have to watch the movie Bound, a lesbian melodrama. Yes, that was legit. That was me. Or like, I used to obsessively look for new music. Like, I was never satisfied with like the music that I had. So I always wanted more.
Yeah.
So I was always the person like making all my friends listen to music. And like, yeah, that was always me.
Were you on like Kazaa or like Napster?
I was a LimeWire gal.
Yes. LimeWire was like the chicest one.
LimeWire, I had the most like success with, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But then I discovered I used to go to, so like Nylon magazine and like all of like the MySpacey kind of magazine era, yes. times, they used to do free playlists.
Oh.
And that's how I discovered so much music. Like the first time I ever heard like Paper Planes by MIA.
Oh.
I know. And they would do it like the week before the song premiered. It was like a pre whatever for free. So I would just download them and I'd be like, oh my God, you have to listen to this. So it's Nylon magazine was the whole.
I live for Nylon magazine. I always wanted like, I feel like a Nylon magazine, like photo shoot, it has such a specific like vibe and aesthetic, like the whole magazine is such an aesthetic. What was I going to ask you? Oh, so basically what I was going to say was you just enjoy deep diving shit that you care about, which is really admirable.
Yeah. I just love Google.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I really just like, love Googling
your
shit.
Wealth of knowledge. Like you don't just go in on like a surface level, like you don't take a surface level approach to anything. You're like, okay, let's like get down deep. And it's so exciting to listen to because it's like, A, like you care about pop culture as much as I do, if not more, which is incredible. And also B, like I learned so much listening to your podcast. Cause I'm like, wait, I'm like a monster, but like, I didn't know half the shit about art pop that I heard on your show.
That makes me so happy. Thank you.
Yeah. Seriously. I do have some pop culture themed questions that I want to pull up here.
Okay.
So they're pop culture themed and I wrote them just for you. What three movies would be featured in your thank you next video?
Oof. Okay. oof. Probably. Is it cliche if I say one that's already in the video?
No, because they're all iconic for a reason.
They're all so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely feel like I would have to feature... I feel like if I did that video, it would just be like the three movies that I feel like are like each generation. So it would be like Heathers,
mm-hmm.
Clueless,
mm-hmm.
and then Mean Girls. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that would have been
beautiful.
That would have been like my perfect sandwich.
I just like want to see you in like a brightly colored like blazer, like playing croquet. Like that's so chic.
With like a perm and a giant bow.
Yes.
In the back of my head.
What color would your Heather's outfit be?
Oh man. It would probably be Aries red, if I'm being honest with you.
Oh, that's so fierce.
It would be Aries red.
I love that for you. I would love to be like a lavender, like a lilac Heather.
Love that. Like you know? A pastel Heather.
Yes, a pastel Heather. Also, you attended the Art Pop Ball.
Yes.
Which I'll never forgive you for. No, I'm kidding. What is your favorite Art Pop track and why?
I love... So it's weird. My favorite Art Pop track is... It's got to be... Probably Gypsy.
Ah.
Honestly.
I weep.
I love that song so much. It never doesn't make me feel some weird, like all of a sudden I'm a person living out of hotels in Istanbul. You know what I mean? Like I'm suddenly her. It makes me feel things. I don't know why, but I love it so much. It's What's like your favorite?
Oh, off that album?
Yeah.
Probably that song, or I love GUY also.
So good. That fucking video.
Oh, I mean, also can we talk about like how like the housewives that made the cut of that video, like Carlton had like one season, but like got to be in a Gaga video because of the timing.
I live for the fact that Carlton is in that video. And also just like Andy, like in front of a green screen in his office at Bravo.
Yes. Being like the son from Teletubbies, like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. The watcher of all women.
Yes. That video is so good. I also love the song Fashion.
That was my other one.
I mean, I don't know about you, but this is going to lead into the next question. But like, have you ever like thought of like being in a fashion show to the song Fashion?
Every fucking time.
Every time.
Every time. And I say all the time, that song makes me want to do weird shit with scarves. Like, it makes me want to, like, dance with scarves on.
Yes. I want, like, a feathered, like, collar that, like, touches the walls. Like, I want, like, it's, like, opulence.
Yes, literally.
It's full opulence. You. Everything. I'm speaking to your Drag Race background.
Yeah. We're, by the way, I'm like using my hands a lot, but they disappear. So it's actually probably good for me.
I can see that you're trying to do opulence.
They're just little skinny like sticks that are kind of moving behind my green screen.
Next question leading into that is, or that question led into. I'm so excited I can't speak. What is your herstory with the song Wild Women Do from the Pretty Woman soundtrack?
Wait a minute. Did we talk about this already?
Yes, we did. But I wanted the listeners to know because it's so iconic.
Okay. So growing up, Pretty Woman was like my choice. Actually, I may even take back my first answer. I think Pretty Woman may be the movie. I mean, honestly, I would quite possibly remake the Pretty Woman video or movie for my music video.
I love that.
But it was just like my choice romantic comedy. Like it was just for me, it was perfection and it always made me laugh and it always made me cry. Mm-hmm. And like I got all of the things when it came to Julia. I was like, I get all of it. The legs, the hair, the teeth, the laugh, like all of it. And that song specifically, like, is one of those things that I look back and I'm like, oh, my mom's a fucking idiot for not knowing I was a homosexual. Like she literally was like either blind, deaf, or dumb, or all. It was like Bird Box walking around my house apparently because I couldn't have been gayer. And I used to sing that song all the time.
That's so cute. I used to sing it to
my mom. I used to sing it to our cat. Like if my cat was like being like mischievous, I would just sing Wild Women Do to her.
Imagining you as a baby just like walking around your house being like wow and then it's the cutest image of all time.
I love that fucking movie and that song.
Well, because we were talking about this because I think I played it on my Instagram or something and you were like, oh my gosh, I love this song. Oh, yeah, I sang it all the time as a kid. How did my mom not know I was gay, etc. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have manifested like trying on clothes with Brad Goreski to this song since I was like 17 years old. Like I just imagine him like throwing amazing couture at me and me like giggling and be like, okay, I guess I'll just try it on. Like, and I told you the part that I always get really like fierce in my head about is like, listen to me, Jack. I ain't holding back, guys. And in that part, in my head, since I was like 17, I always picture myself in like a red blazer with like aggressive shoulder pads. I can't speak. Going like this.
Yeah. And doing giving like full fashion pose.
Fashion, like Broken Doll, Tyra, realness.
Yes, I live for that song. And I live for like the fact that the lyrics are about like unapologetically getting fucked, basically. Yes. And I'm just walking around singing it at 8. Like,
there are so many movies I saw when I was so young, like saw Cruel Intentions at the age of like 11. Like my mom would just see a movie with like young kids on the cover and be like, the girls can watch this. And I'm like, I should not have been watching that.
Oh my God. Cool Intentions was the reason I really do blame Ryan Phillippe for all of whatever happened to me. I'm not even kidding. Everything.
That movie was such a mysterious experience as a child. Cause I was like, what is happening to me? Like, why do I feel this way? What am I seeing? Like, it was just such a sexy movie.
Cause it was like, it was like very clearly too mature for who it was made for, but yes. It also like helped us appreciate better movies.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
God. I heard the song Bittersweet Symphony earlier today and I was like, oh my gosh, like Cecile's about to bust into that church with the manuscript and just fuck up Catherine's life.
Yes. Catherine's coke is about to fly into the air.
Yeah. He'd want me to say, Catherine, I'm sorry. You don't want me to say, Kath, what is going on? Don't you people have any respect? I want to be Catherine in the remake.
You have to be. I want to be Selma Blair.
Yes. Yes. You'd be an amazing Cecile.
I want to be Cecile.
I want you in the koala t-shirt being like, oh, thanks. My dad got it for me in Australia.
Do we like handstands with my legs fully open?
Selma Blair, iconic. And honestly, Selma Blair like reprised that role in the movie The Sweetest Thing.
Oh, I live for Selma Blair. She's so underrated.
So underrated. Ugh. That's a whole other podcast. We can just talk about underrated actresses.
Literally.
Okay, next question. What is your favorite celebrity documentary that you would recommend?
My favorite celebrity documentary, probably Madonna's Truth or Dare. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because when you see it, like if you picture what was happening during the time, it was like early 90s, like AIDS epidemic, like Keith Haring, you know, like just, it's such a specific time. And Madonna's, that documentary is kind of like the first like celebrity documentary, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it was released in theaters and people thought that was crazy. And people like went to the theaters to see a celebrity documentary. You know what I mean? It wasn't like released on TV. It was like a film. And it's just so iconic. You'll love it so
much. I cannot wait to see it. And I just want to say, I feel like you and I would have been those people who were like, you know, it's Friday night. We're buying the ticket to go to the movie. Like, we're getting the big popcorn. We're like splurging on the Madonna
We're making a seat for the popcorn.
Yes. Yes. A separate popcorn seat.
Yes.
That's incredible. It is so wild to think about a time where like celebrity documentaries, like there was no YouTube, there was no Instagram. Like, we knew nothing about celebrities that wasn't like carefully constructed and shared with us. Yeah, I mean, like
We were just brainwashed by everything, you know?
And like when you think about like Newlyweds when it came out, like it was like so revolutionary, or like MTV Cribs, like seeing inside a celebrity's home or seeing anything about them that wasn't like perfect was such a like, like concept.
Yeah. I've been doing Being Bobby Brown for bonus content on my podcast. And like, you know, it's like, so the show is so controversial because it's like in quotes too real, but it's like, for me, even though it's gross and sad, it's also so crazy to see Whitney Houston like farting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's such a look behind the curtain. It's so real and authentic that it's like, wow. Like, it was like kind of the first of its kind, like the last of its kind in a way.
Yeah.
Of, like, celebrity-ality. So like, that was a whole nother time of like weird, like, let's start seeing celebrities in their houses, like, with their spouse kind of thing.
Yes, like, the dark underbelly of these, like, beloved, like, perfect figures in our minds. I mean, it's like Britney and Kevin Chaotic, too. I feel like that was, like, so shocking because we were like, what's going on? Like, Britney's, like, burping and, like, stoned and, like, what's happening? Also, I want to tell you, I watched A Star Is Born the other day, just, like, on a whim. Mm-hmm. And I got to the end and I was like, I'm so sad that we never get to hear Whitney sing I'll Never Love Again. Cause that's just like a Whitney song.
Oh, I know. That whole movie makes me think of Whitney.
Me too.
The whole time. I think of Whitney the entire time. Cause it's like Bodyguard 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it really is. Okay, a couple more pop culture questions, and then we'll get into you, Troy.
Okay.
Which celebrity has, quote, this is a term I made up that I wanted to share with you. Which celebrity has resting rich face to you, and why?
Resting rich. I would say, I feel like Yolanda Foster has resting rich face, correct?
Love that answer. Yes.
Like just kind of a scowl, but it's like degrading.
Yes, but like a beautiful scowl.
Gorgeous though. Yeah.
Yes. I just feel like I coined this term because there are certain people, like Zosia Mamet is someone where I'm like, I would see her on the street and be like, she has a rich dad for sure.
Yeah, she's wealthy for sure.
Like
yeah.
Zoe Deutsch, rich as fuck.
Yes.
And I coined this term resting rich face because I always say like, I could be a gajillionaire and like, I will never have resting rich face just because like, I wasn't born with it. And it's so fascinating to me, like to identify it on people because it's not hard to identify.
That is so true. People will always think that we're like slack-jawed yokels.
And I'm like, listen, I know that's true, but I would like to be able to like fake somebody out, you know?
That's such a weird thing. I've never even thought about that, but I could be a billionaire and people would be like, people would still put money in a hat for me.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. But also I feel like that's kind of like a strength. That's like kind of actually a superpower because if you think about all the coolest celebrities, they're always like the most chill ones who don't have resting rich face. Like I feel like Kate Hudson, rich as fuck, doesn't have resting rich face to me.
Not at all. That's such a good point. And the people like Jennifer Lawrence does not have resting rich face at all.
Nope. Mm-mm.
That's amazing. Now I'm going to obsessively think about that.
I know.
Oh my God.
I wanted to bring it back to, because I hadn't mentioned it on my podcast in a while. And I knew you'd be the perfect person to like dig into that topic with, because it is something I think about like probably far too often, but I do think it's like wildly fascinating.
No, it's crazy. And now I'm just like, now in my mind, all I see is Yolanda like scowling at me.
Yes. The Rolodex. Like it's like Delilah Belle and Amelia Gray, like they had resting rich face even before they got their work done. Like they just absolutely. Always had it, you know?
Yes, 1000%.
Okay. I think actually, no, that's all my pop culture questions. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get into you. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in like Cleveland area.
Love.
And so I'm like a Midwestern boy.
This makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm annoyingly nice at times, the Midwestern way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I'm the person who like will apologize for like walking by somebody at a grocery store.
Do you know what I mean? That too. And it's like, you literally just bumped into me and I'm apologizing to you. Like,
yeah.
Do you ever feel like Kelly Cloran Ben Simone being like, I'm from the Midwest. Okay.
I drink beer.
Yeah. I eat buffalo wings. Okay. Like I'm from the Midwest.
Speaking of Kelly Cloran Ben Simone, I cannot believe I forgot to send this to you today. I was recommended this thing on YouTube today because I was like, sometimes I just like watch Bethany-centric content because I just need it. Because
why wouldn't you?
You know what I mean? I need it to further my career and further my life.
Yes.
So I was like, damn, I need some Bethany. So I was watching and I got recommended this like Bethany interview from like 2009. It's a Google. She like went to Google and like had a, like gave a TED talk at Google about Skinny Girl and it was new. And she was still doing Bethany Bakes and it was like a 50 minute long thing. And it was like the season right before they filmed season 3. It was like the summer before they filmed season 3. So she's like talking about how her and Jill have been a little bit distant. Like she doesn't know what's to come. She's talking about Kelly and she's like, you guys think Kelly's crazy. She seems a little crazy. And Scary Island's, I have to send it to you.
I am fascinated. Wait, can I ask during this interview or a TED talk that you watched, did she still have looked like a balloon version of the Skinny Girl logo? Like when she looked like an inflatable figure?
She had not, it was like a weird version because it wasn't this one. It was like the post Alex drew on a post-it version. It was like the one after that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
There have been so many iterations of that damn logo.
I know. And it's like at the end of the day, it's always a stick figure popping out her hip, but it's always looked so different.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. I need to see that. I wondered for like a good 10 years of my life, like what self-tanner Kelly Cloran Ben Simone uses, because like she always has this like summery like bronze and glow. And I finally just asked her once in the comments and she was like, Clarins, period. And I was like, well, great, I'm glad I asked.
Thanks, Kelly. My God,
cool. I didn't know it was that easy. I wondered for years.
I miss her. Do you miss Kelly Ben Simone on the show?
I miss her every day I'm alive.
Yeah, I miss her so much.
I miss her too. I mean, she gave us so much. How are you feeling about Dorinda's departure, by the way?
I'm heartbroken.
It's pretty sad.
It's really sad. It's like, Dorinda is one of those, she's like one of those pillar housewives, you know, like, mm-hmm. where it's just like, you can't even imagine that the show existed before her being on it.
Yes.
From like, how did season one through whatever exist and Dorinda wasn't there? Like, how's that even possible?
I know.
It kills me. I mean, no more Berkshires. It's really the end of like an era for New York.
It really is. I was eating dinner with my boyfriend and I was like, the fact that we don't have Bluestone Manor anymore is like very, very upsetting.
It's wild to eat. I mean, what are they going to do?
What are they going to do? I don't know. I mean, like, literally, I'm like, where are they going to go? Also, like, for the love of Pete, do they ever get to go to Europe? Like, we've gone to Mexico, like, several times. I want to see them in, like, Rome or, like, Ireland. Like, let's just go somewhere different, you know?
Somewhere super random. And they're always wasting the trips on Beverly Hills.
Yeah, and I'm like, those ladies they're not interesting enough for the places they go. It's like a bad Mary-Kate and Ashley movie.
No, that's actually like the greatest way to put it, because I watched When in Rome not that long ago, and it was very
Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay. It was very, very Beverly Hills the whole time.
Yes, they're like, thank you. Yeah. Italian boys. It was worse. Y'all, you need to listen to Troy's When in Rome episode literally ASAP. It was incredible. I laughed, I cried.
No, but you're right, though. It's like the trips are wasted on the women in Beverly Hills. I like forget where they are more than half the time, honestly.
They're
in Italy.
Yes. It's like, that's a problem. Like, when you have an entire cast of like rich women in Italy and I cannot pay attention for the life of me, like something is amiss.
I commend you so much for your pivot. I honestly do. I think it's commendable. I'm like, I couldn't do it. Like, it's so frustrating even just to watch. I couldn't imagine. And like you said, there are so many people that are like doing it amazingly. And thank God for them, because I still want the content, but it's like, I couldn't do it.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel. And thank you for supporting me through that, because you rebranded. When did you rebrand again?
I rebranded a few months ago. I don't even remember how long it's been now. I think maybe say 2 or 3 months. And it was the greatest decision I've ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than feeling like this thing that's like a creative outlet that's supposed to be fun and like bring you joy becomes this like, oh God, here we go. Like, I'm going to go talk about this thing. And it's like, I can't imagine that's fun to listen to. Cause if it's not fun for us to do, then like, why are we doing it? It's not like we're making like $1 million an episode.
No, for sure. And like, I love that you were just honest about it. And you were like, I just A, don't enjoy it. And B, I don't want to keep telling you guys that I don't enjoy it.
Thank you. I mean, I'm just like, I don't, and I think it's scary too, because I'm sure you probably felt this way with the Smush Room, where it's like, oh, people like me because of this specific topic I talk about. And then you're like, no, people like you because they like you and they like your voice and what you bring to the table. So it's like, you can talk about fucking anything, which is really liberating. Yeah.
It's so liberating. And then like realizing that you're kind of good at talking about other things. Like, I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that I could do that, but that's cool, you know?
Right. And then you're also tapping into like other interests, because that's the thing too, is I think once you're like, oh, I'm a pop culture person, or, oh, I'm a Bravo person, and you brand yourself as such, then like you're sort of just, it's like you kind of forget that you have many other interests and many other topics that you would also like to talk about. And so it's really exciting to be in a place where it's like, oh wait, I'm going to rebrand this in such a way that allows me to like bring in more parts of my personality, but like I couldn't get out there before, you know?
Yeah. I want you to lean in. I'm like living for everything that you're doing right now.
I'm living for everything you're doing, and with your support and love in place, and also this like creepy viralness that happened from this Dorinda video today. I'm going to lean in.
Can we talk about that?
I've never had anything go viral, and it was a wild, incredible ride. Y'all, don't stop listening. Don't unfollow me. I regret nothing, but I was like, what the fuck is going on?
It was so funny, though. It was so funny and like so deserved and so good. Your Dorinda is unreal. Your Dorinda and your Ramona are the two like Those are the ones for me.
Thank you. Thank you. I literally, like, I saw the news because I had like five people on Midwestern time send it to me like before I even woke up this morning. I just woke up to like Dorinda's leaving. And then I was like, I'm just going to do it. And yeah. I stopped thinking about it and just did my makeup and put on a wig and a robe. And I said, here we go.
It was so good. Do you think that like Ramona is like freaking out right now?
I think Ramona is shitting herself, literally.
Literally?
Shitting her robe at this very moment. Be like, oh my God, am I next? What am I going to do? I honestly, like, I think, and Mani said this from Mixing with Mani, she's like, I think we need, like, cast shakeups. Because when you have an entire group of women that's been together for that long, one person is not enough to, like, give us the new energy that we're looking for. Like, these OGs, they get too comfortable, they bring the same thing over and over, and then they develop a bad attitude, and it's like, we just need to, like, clean the house a little bit. And I am going to miss Dorinda, but I'm like, how the fuck are you going to let Dorinda go and keep Ramona? Like, please.
I totally agree with that. I feel like it's not something that I feel like I even would have thought about until Leah's introduction. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then Leah sort of reminding everybody watching the show, like, these women are super uptight. Mm-hmm. They only go to like three places. Mm-hmm. They're like so Upper East Side. And it's like New York City is so much more than Upper East Side. Like, even Leah just taking us to a fucking shitty, like, germ infested fucking bathhouse. I'm like, I want more. Like, I want more of Leah's New York.
Yes. Because also, like, that is such a widely recognizable New York experience that, like, so many people can identify with. And, or, like, I don't know anything about New York. I visited there maybe two times. New York's like not my thing, but I want to see all sides of it. I don't want to just see like Ramona's like sterile looking redone apartment. Like, with her ugly couches and lamps. Like, I'm not interested.
In her, like, group of 50 women. Like, I'm like, I've seen enough tea parties at noon.
I cannot.
I've seen enough. Like, I'm ready to explore other parts of New York. And if, I mean, I've been reading that they're going to, like, lean into, like, Leah's life more and, like, her friends.
Ooh, I love
and it's
that.
Not that I want the show to be young. I like that it's, like, middle-aged gals. Mm-hmm. That's, like, my favorite thing about Housewives. Mm-hmm. But it could use some new energy, you know?
Yes. Because that's what's feeling so stale, and that's what was irritating me, is I'm just, like, the dynamic has been the same for so long, and it's just repeated storylines and repeated events in different settings or the same setting over and over and over. And I'm like, we just need, like, out with the old. And I'm like, kind of out with the old. I'm not age shaming anyone, but you know what I mean? Like, we need new people. But it's also like, part of me is scared because I'm like, I've been watching these shows for like over 10 years of my life. Like, am I outgrowing Bravo? And like, that is like terrifying to me. Luckily, you know, there's enough YouTube content featuring other celebrities that I haven't dived into that like I can dig into now while I take a Bravo breather.
I think everybody's is either low-key feeling that or they're talking about it. Everybody's feeling like, have I outgrown Bravo? But the other, so there's another thing that I wanted to run by you, a theory that I have.
Please.
No. Specifically with like Beverly Hills, because, you know, they all have like their own production companies or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like of all the cities, Beverly Hills has really outgrown the fourth wall the most.
Yeah.
Like, the city that needs to break it the most. And I'm not talking about like a producer asking a single question during an interview and us all being like, oh my God, oh my God. You know, and I'm talking like, let's show the cameras. Let's talk about production. Like, we need, like, that show is, it's not, I wouldn't even call it a sinking ship at this point. It's the Titanic. It is at the bottom of the ocean. How are we going to pull it back up at this point? Right?
Yes. Like, Rose is floating on a door, sharing it with no one, with the whistle.
Like, unclasping her hand from Jax.
Yes. Her frozen, decrepit hands. Rigor mortis hands from Jax, watching him float down. I mean, it's true.
It's true.
I feel like, I feel like we can expect, I don't know if it's just like living in LA, but I do feel like Beverly Hills, because it's like in LA, like the whole like showbiz, like filmmaking aspect is already like inherently in the fabric of like where the show is set. So right. It's like break that fourth wall, show the cameras, like talk about it, and not in like a The Hills kind of way, like in an actual way where it's like, cause something's got to give. I mean, and they're bringing back Brandy now, and I'm like, I don't need that.
And it's like the things that they're doing to make the show interesting don't work with the way that they choose to film the show, where they're like, we can't talk about being housewives. We can't talk about, it's like Brandy is literally here because she's being told to film. Like,
yes.
No, Brandy wasn't in Kyle's neighborhood. It's absurd. So, honestly, I think it's insulting.
I do too. That's what's the most annoying thing is like the audience, like we are intelligent and it's like, do not dumb us down by acting like we're just going to like take this like bullshit bait that you're giving us. Yeah. Right. Like Brandy being like, oh, it's just driving around Encino. And I, even though I was invited to this shower and I also happened to like have a gift and a fake ponytail in, but like, might I stop by? It's like, no, you were on the call sheet. Like,
You just like wanted to get Buca di Beppo real quick, girl. Come on.
Yes. Also, I had questions about like why Teddy like thought that her and Kyle were just getting a casual dinner at Buca. Like that would literally never happen.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Richard was taking you to Buca di Beppo to get a BOGO?
No. Yeah. A buy one, get one pasta with all the breadsticks and salad you would like.
It's absurd. That shit is like, it makes me like want to disengage. I'm just like, you know what? I'm above this.
Yes. I don't need to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you something outside the realm of Bravo.
Sure.
What was junior high like for you in Ohio?
Middle school for me was interesting because I'd moved to, like, had gone to a different school district, and I moved to where I ended up going to all of middle school and all of high school in, like, seventh grade. So I was starting a new school, and my high school was very, like, I describe it as Degrassi.
Okay, love.
It was a mix of every school district. Because we had further school district boundaries. So it wasn't like in any way segregated. There wasn't like any dominant race. Like it was really crazy. There were like...
That's great.
It was wild. I mean, it was like, I didn't realize until I got much older how lucky I was. And it was like, I went to high school with people who were like still to this day, like the wealthiest people I've ever known. But also like... I knew a guy who literally had an unfinished dirt floor.
Wow.
Like, it was the wildest mix of people that I've ever, even to this day, like, been around at one time. So, it was crazy. And I made my, I was, like, very, like, early 2000s, like, almost, I wasn't even, like, gay. I was metrosexual. I was Marco from Degrassi.
I was going to say, did you have, like, a cool jacket that you turned around and, like, flipped it out?
Oh, my God.
Degrassi on the back.
I wore, like, 8 collars. I was manicured and primped and pressed from head to toe every single fucking day.
Oh, my God. Because
I was so insecure.
Did you layer polos?
Oh, girl. I layered polos underneath, like, button-ups. I would layer button-ups underneath polos. I was playful.
Yes, a playful fashion moment.
I was playful in my layering.
That's so interesting, though, what you said about, like, yeah, I layered a bunch of clothes because I was insecure. It's so true, though. Like, in junior high, you're just trying to find your identity. You're, like, confused because you're, like, I feel like I'm kind of an adult, but I'm also, like, still for sure a child. And you just are, like, how do I navigate this? And everyone's moving in junior high at such different speeds, like, of maturity, where you're, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I went from like what I thought was normal to like a high school or to a middle school that felt like it was in a TV show. Like,
yes,
I was like, this was like my actual fears come true. Like, you know, when you watch TV and when you're little and you're like, oh, my God, that's what high school is going to be like. Fuck, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, oh, it's true. Like, this is really what it's like. So I made my identity that I like dressed well. I didn't play sports, you know what I mean? So it was like anything extracurricular. So I was like, my whole identity is going to literally Marco. I'm just going to be like the kid that dresses well. So I like leaned in.
And then were you like, were you funny? Like, were you outgoing the way you are now?
I was super, super outgoing. I didn't really have a problem making friends, but I, like, looking back, it's like I was like, my insecurity was like crippling.
Mm-hmm.
I was like white knuckling it every day to just like get by, which we all are in a different way, you know, at that time.
Yeah. I mean, but it is so insane, like looking back on junior high, like how the littlest thing, like what you wore to school that day, it's like armor. Like, it's literally, oh, like you feel ready to pretend like you're fine based on like what you wore, how you did your hair, like any little thing that can make you feel like a secure version of yourself, you're going to like cling onto. Like, that is such a real thing.
And it's funny because like, I was a cliche in the sense that like I had a big group of like girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Like, I infiltrated a girl group and just made myself one of the gals.
Yes.
And I was listening to your episode the other day where you guys were talking about going to like the Jessica McClintock store and like all of those things.
Yes.
And
it's
like, I also weirdly had like, I had like a middle school girl experience because I was my friend's sidekick for everything, you know what I mean? Like, so like,
interesting.
I went to the Jessica McClintock store probably more than most of my own friends.
Wow. So did you like help your friends like pick out dresses and stuff?
Oh, it was like a career. It was like, you have to come with me to do this. I need to go get my hair done. I need you to be there.
Yes.
I need to go pick out this. I have to come. I was like, I loved it.
Oh, that's fun. Honestly, like, I mean, so what would you say? So basically you were insecure, but you had like a solid friend group that valued what you brought as a friend, like to the table.
I had a solid friend group who all knew I was gay and they were protective of me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it was a group of girls that were like, he's ours.
Yeah.
And they were protective. And like, I never really had to, in quotes, come out to any of them. They all just obviously knew that I was gay because mm-hmm. I was outrageously gay in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they just kind of like looked out for me and protected me.
I love that.
Yeah.
When do you feel like you like really like came into your own? Like, was it like high school, college, after?
I feel like I came into my own probably in college.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like college is when I was like, I cared less about what people thought for the first time in so long.
Yeah.
And it was almost like everybody was so, this is going to sound terrible, but it's like in college, everybody's already so fucked up.
Right.
And doing terrible that it's like my rock bottom is like no different than everybody else's. Like, we're all a fucking broke mess.
Yes. And it's kind of like romanticized, like being messy in college is like, you can just be like hashtag college. Like, oh, I'm still so drunk from last night.
Yes.
But now it's like, as an adult, I'm like, ooh, like if I like, you know, have the spins watching a Madonna documentary going to bed on a Saturday, I'm like, oh, help me. That was not on the agenda.
I know. It's wild. College is like, it is true. It's totally romanticized to be a mess.
Yeah.
And I was a broke, struggling mess, but I had so much fun.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just felt like, it's like that cliche feeling of like, these people all haven't known me for 12 years, you know? So
yes.
I can kind of like undo the top button a little bit, like, you know, just like live a little.
Oh my gosh. I so agree with you because I feel like college for me similarly, like offered just this sort of like clean slate of like, no one knows anything that you don't share with them. So like
exactly.
Anything that you felt like was sort of stuck to you from just what people in your town knew about you or whatever, yeah. Like no one knows. And so you can kind of like reinvent, I mean, bring it all back to Madonna or Lady Gaga. You can reinvent yourself and just be like, well, here's the coolest parts of myself that I always liked. And then I'm going to like put these other things aside and like deal with them later or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Like by the time, that's exactly it. By the time I got to college, I was like, well, I don't have to like have some weird, like, this is like my identity. These are the things that I do.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of clothes that I wear kind of thing. And yeah, you're totally right though. I think like what you wear when you're younger is like your armor,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially it was so different then too. I talk about this all the time that like, if you grew up in the early 2000s, it's not like we could like go to a thrift store or something and like you wore mall clothes.
Yes.
It was a different experience. There was no like, it was just different. You could go to a thrift store, but like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like you wore mall clothes. You had tribes.
People like looked at the label. They looked at the brand. Like if you had a little alligator or a moose on your shirt, then you were like, okay. Right. But if you had like the Target knockoff with, you know, some other little emblem on it, you were like, oh.
People judged you. I mean, yes. It was like literal mall. I call them mall tribes.
Yes.
Because they were like identifiers. It was like, oh, you're an Abercrombie person. You're an American Eagle person.
You're
like
a Hot Topic person.
Right. It's your whole identity. It like signifies everything about you at that time. And it's like so different now.
Yes. And I remember too, like now, you know, kind of bring it back to Resting Rich Face. Like now it's very refreshing to be at a point where like the people that I'm friends with and the people that I vibe with, I brag about how little I paid for something as opposed to how much. And people are like, oh my God, no way. Target? That's so cute.
I know.
Whereas in junior high, it was like, if you were wearing something thrifted or something secondhand, it was like, oh no, you know,
girl in junior high, do you want to like, literally want to stop recording.
Oh my gosh.
I knew a girl in junior high who had her mom make her an Abercrombie shirt and her mom spelled it wrong.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable. Just that
I know.
That she felt that pressure, but that's so real.
Because it's like, it's like funny because it's such an unnecessary, it's like you made your mom. Like being in the mindset now of like a full-fledged adult, yes, it's like, oh my God, like you made your mom fucking sell you an Abercrombie shirt because you were like that insecure about it. And like, you know, it's like, you know that feeling of being like, this is going to be fine. I'm going to go to school tomorrow. It's going to be fine.
Yes.
It's heartbreaking.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I discovered like American Eagle and Aeropostale, it was like, and I liked those clothes. Like it was such a breath of fresh air for my mom because Forever 21. Cause my mom was like, oh, finally I can afford to like actually take her shopping. Whereas like with Abercrombie, it was like, I had like maybe one or two Abercrombie shirts and I would wear, I mean, there was one of them I would wear it like 3 or 4 days a week. Cause I thought like better to wear the same Abercrombie shirt every day than not wear an Abercrombie shirt.
Oh, absolutely.
And looking back, I'm like, people were probably like, do you have another shirt? But at the time, like the label mattered so much more.
The label was everything. It was literally, I mean, people would look at your clothes and then look at the little, like you said, like either it was a moose or it was a fucking seagull or whatever. Yeah. And they were like, oh, okay. You know, like it's an Abercrombie shirt, like cool. Or like it's a Hollister shirt, cheaper, mm-hmm. but cool.
Yeah.
You know, like people were very like, it was weird. It was a whole thing.
Also, Abercrombie is so disgusting. Like how much they spray that fucking perfume, if you want to call it that, around. And then they like don't make sizes bigger than like a size 4. And that's their quote large. I'm like, y'all are monsters. Like I don't even know how those stores are still standing.
They are fucking monsters. I literally think about my mom having to go in there with me and how miserable she would be.
Right.
And it's like, I understand every single portion of her misery now.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's such a wild thing to like look back. Like my mom like was socially anxious as fuck. Didn't like talk to the other moms. Like had no interest in like, you know, schmoozing with other parents. And I remember at the time I'd be like, just be cool, mom. Like just like talk to them. And looking back, I'm like, I am going to be that mom. It's like, fuck that. Like I don't have to be friends with your friends' moms. Like go have fun. It's not my problem.
God, are you kidding me? When I'm like, unless your friend's mom likes to get drunk, she probably won't ever see me. I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah. What was your first job?
My first job was at KB Toys. You have to be of a particular age to even know what it is.
What is it? Do I have to Google this?
It's a debunked toy store. It was like the competitor to Toys R Us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it went out of business in the mid 2000s, I guess.
Oh my God.
It was a really wild experience because I worked there on Christmas.
Oh!
It was my first time working. I was so young that I had to get a permit.
How old were you? Like 14?
I think I had just turned 15.
Oh my God.
And I just really, me and my friend like really wanted a job. So me and my best friend like went to the mall and like looked for jobs together. We're like, hi, we're 15. Are you hiring? And they're like,
that's very like Lizzie McGuire of you. Like, did you work at the Digital Bean next?
They were like, how old are you? Do you have any job experience at all? Not even just in retail, but like just at all? I'd be like, no.
But we're hiring workers in middle school.
Yes. And you needed the money so you could go get yourself a shirt at Abercrombie.
Girl, those fucking sweaters didn't, those track jackets did not pay for themselves.
They were like $70.
It was absurd. And I like wanted to like buy my friend's Christmas presents. Like I wanted to have like the first time buying my friend's Christmas presents with like money that I worked for.
That's a great feeling.
You know? So I was like, oh, I'm going to get a job at the toy store. And because the store was closing, we had like no rules. You know what I mean? And it was like the company was going out of business. So we really didn't have any rules. So
it was just like Lord of the Flies, like just like pure chaos.
My managers were like little goth teenagers who like never came to work. My one manager only ever came to work to buy hair dye from Hot Topic. And then she would like stop in to like see what was going on. And she instructed us to let people steal.
Because like, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, she's like, we're throwing all of this stuff away. Like literally let people steal. There's too much inventory with the stores closing. So I would watch people steal.
Honestly, I love that.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was like, literally take whatever the fuck you want. It was like moms that would come in and steal and they'd have their kids with them. And I'd be like, literally don't hide it. Like just walk out of the store with this stuff. And like, also, don't even care.
Can you imagine being a parent who like Christmas is coming up and you feel like you're in a spot where you can't get your kid what they want. And like, yeah. You feel like your only option is to steal. Like, it's like people don't just steal for funsies unless you're like, yeah, a rider, you know?
Exactly. Like they were putting shit in like baby strollers. I was like, you can have it. And yeah. Then sometimes like Toys for Tots would come in, mm-hmm, and they would like dump all of this shit in those Toys for Tots trash bags. And I would just slide shit through the register in the bag and give it to them. But it was fun.
Was it fun? Did you feel like a Christmas elf?
I did. I felt like Julia Roberts when she like gets her makeover, when I would like walk through the mall with, yes, my like money in tow and like, I'm going to buy my friend this Hollister shirt and I'm going to buy my friend this Bath & Body Works spray.
That's so sweet. Wow, I love that. You're an amazing friend.
I was buying them like BOGOs and shit. You know what I mean? But I was excited to buy people shit. It made me feel like an adult, mature woman.
Oh my God. There is truly nothing better than being, yeah, like in junior high or high school and like pulling off, like getting your friends a little something. I remember,
oh my
like,
God,
I used to bake cookies for my teachers and like my mom would help me wrap them all cute. And I would like hand make all my teachers cards. And I would, in like junior high and like the day before winter break, I would give them all like a little bag of homemade cookies and then a card that I like colored myself. And some of the teachers were like, well, I'm going to be driving all day tomorrow to my daughter's house. It's 7 hours away. So I'll eat these cookies along the way. And I felt like, and I also remember, sorry, I don't mean to make this about myself. I'm sorry. No. I'm not trying to be like Sheena, but I remember I loved the Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack so much that I had my mom like record it onto like a tape. And then I made my bus driver play it like for like the weeks leading up to winter, like the 2 weeks leading up to winter break, like on the bus.
Liv, I couldn't even imagine that experience.
Really?
That seems like magical.
Honestly, like, and people would be like, we don't want to listen to this anymore. And I would just be like, whatever. Like, they would get so mad. They're like, put on B96. Like, they would get so mad. And I was like, listen. And I was always friends with my bus drivers because, like, I was polite and just, like, nice to them and said good morning and, like, thank you and stuff. And a lot of the other students didn't. So the bus drivers were always, like, cool with me. And we're like, yeah, I'll put on your, like, Christmas tape. Sure.
Oh, my God. We didn't listen to music on our bus.
Oh my gosh. Can I tell you a story that is like the most like Hannah and Troy story ever? One time I was listening to Toxic on my Discman. Okay. Full fucking blast. And before I knew it, it was the last like, dee, 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 dee. And as it ends, the whole bus is silent and everyone's like, who played that? Where is it coming? Like everyone could hear my music and it was so loud. So embarrassing. I just remember being like, it was me. I was listening to Britney.
Oh, that is very, that would have been very us as friends in middle school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we would have each like been like, can you hear it? Like, yeah, share the headphones. Shared a bud.
Yeah. Like, is it loud enough for you? I can make it louder. Cool.
Make it as loud as you can.
Yeah, like one ear is like dripping like blood.
What was your favorite outfit that you wore to a school dance?
Oh, that's such a fun question. I have a favorite outfit.
Yeah, see, this is perfect for you.
Yeah, because this was my whole thing. This is my whole thing. So me and my best friend, Julie was like my like ride or die. Like she was like my life. Like we were like, thought we were going to be life partners, best friends. Mm-hmm. And we, on occasion, liked to match. or whatever. And we were like, this is actually really douchey. I don't even know if I should tell this story, but we liked to match. And I was like, let's go to this. We always went to dances together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we should like not wear like a suit and like, we should go in like something unexpected and like match. And it was like pink, like preppy, like you said, like collar polos era.
Yes. Yes.
So we wore, ew, this is so douchey. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. Just put yourself in the mindset of like 2005, okay?
Yes, we're there.
We wore Lacoste outfits together. Like I like literally bought like a Lacoste, like I saved all my money for like months of like working. And I bought this like really overpriced Lacoste blazer from the store. It was like the nicest thing I had ever bought at that point in my life. Like I was like, I have to like, and it was probably like $200. But to me at the time, I was like, yes. This is... And she bought like a Lacoste tennis dress, and we went to the dance in Lacoste.
That is fucking major. Like that. What, you were like a self-actualized person. That is badass. Also, like, how does that sound douchey? You literally just told us that you worked at a toy store and like benevolently let people steal. Like, of course you're gonna get yourself a Lacoste blazer. You earned it.
And it was like of the time. You know what I mean? It was like collars the house down. Yes. So I was like, this is right up my alley.
I just think of like MTV's Rich Girls with Jamie Gleischer and Allie Hilfiger.
It was very, very Jamie and Allie.
Jamie. Do you remember that episode where Jamie's like, they can't just like leave in our limo. They left in our limo. That prom episode. It was like a Gossip Girl disaster.
When she's planning her entire prom around getting fucked at the end of the night and talking about it on camera was wild. She's like, if I'm gonna lose my tomorrow, I just feel like I need to like have the right dress. Like, what? What?
Yes, like Allie and Jamie walked so that Blair and Serena could run.
1,000%. They get no credit for how good that show was.
No, and Allie like had the like energy of like a 57-year-old like woman. Like she she was so confident in herself and like walking around in like cargo pants and like stiletto heels with a Lacoste polo like it was NBD.
Well, her dad invented the cargo pant.
Oh my God. Do you remember the problematic episode about the cargo pants? Yeah. Oh, facepalm.
My father always told me to always look at every person as an individual, even the doorman.
Yes. And they're like, yes, even the doorman. Like as if that's like this really profound concept.
Yeah. Like you're Carrie Bradshaw like typing away right now.
You know what really haunts me about Carrie Bradshaw that I think about at least once a week? In the second Sex and the City movie, when she's buying those shoes...
Oh, yeah.
The way she talks to the man selling the shoe, she's like, how much? Oh, thank you. It's like, why are you so quiet? Like, just be nice. Like, it's like so uncomfortable.
Why did Carrie over time? You know, this is like one of my favorite things to try and figure out in Sex and the City, actually. Like, when like Carrie became like a nymph, like a little just like cartoon of a woman. Because in the beginning of the series, she's like a raunchy, slutty, chain smoking, wild haired woman.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden she's like, like everything is just like, I enjoy being a girl, like playing in the background.
Like running, running around her apartment in like a little silk, like two piece set with pearls, but like always running around barefoot, but like on tiptoes.
On tiptoes. I'm
like, why are you running around on tiptoes?
Yes. Like you're alone.
Like who likes your neighbors that much that you're always running around on tiptoes barefoot in your apartment?
I'm always like, what happened to the, it's like, I actually don't watch Sex and the City beyond a certain season.
Me neither.
I'm like, if she quits smoking, I'm basically not watching.
Yes. I always think about that episode where she has the hot frying pan and she drops it on her like skinny little legs with Aiden in the cabin. She's like, ah!
Yeah. Oh, the cabin actually may be where things change. Yeah. Where she falls in the mud and she's like, oh. She like, keeps falling. I'm like, girl, what happened to the Carrie that I used to know that used to chain smoke in like churches?
Yes.
Where is she?
Where is she? Bring her back.
I know, that's, hate it.
That's the other thing too, is like, you know, when it comes to camping, like I'm more of a Meredith Blake than a, you know, Annie and Hallie. Mm-hmm. But, yes. But I'm like, Carrie, like everyone, like wear fucking sneakers. Like you're staying in a cabin. Like I know you're Carrie, but like.
Yeah. We know you're your shoe gal.
Yeah. Find a chic pair of sneakers and like keep it fucking moving.
It's absurd. I yeah. Absurd. Once Carrie stops smoking, I'm basically done with the show.
You're like, I'm out.
I need the raunchy version of Carrie in that only.
Yes. Thank you for going on that Carrie tangent with me. Thank
of course,
you
for I'm always
every tangent.
I know. What is this episode? This is, by the way, this is what it's like to podcast with me. Manic.
A dream. Dream come true. Truly. I feel like I'm going to wake up at any minute and be like, wah, it was all a dream.
All full Carrie.
Yes. Oh, where was I? She's so frail. Which cartoon character would you make out with if you could?
Is it fucked up that I know the answer immediately? Should I pretend that I don't know immediately?
No, lean into the fact that you know immediately, because I have several that I could like list off immediately.
I'm like, let me think. Trent from Daria. Like today.
Wait, I'm obsessed with this answer. Daria is like the best show of all time.
Yeah, I watch it all. Daria right now is my sleep show. It's what I watch in bed. I love it so much.
Does it take you back to those like late night like days in junior high where you would watch The End late at night and it would be like Degrassi, Radio Free Roscoe, and Daria like in a row?
Oh my God, how dare you even bring it up? Like literally, yes.
And I just remember being so soothed when it would be like, la, 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 la. I was like, thank God. Like I really need Daria right now. Like she's the only person who gets me.
I know. I'd be like, I'm such an alt teenager watching this right now.
Yes. But I also feel like if I identify, like I identify probably more with Queen than like anyone
else.
Oh
yes. Queen.
Oh my God. Trent is hot as fuck. I'm looking at him right now. It's been a minute. Yeah.
Oh my God. He was everything. And he was like in that band. And I also, I just thought his whole band was hot. I was like, I want all of them. All of them.
Looking at the picture. His, like, oh my God. His slouchy little like pants and little lime green t-shirt with his jewelry and like tattoo. Honestly, I love this.
Right? Video. Like they drew him specifically to be hot, and I know it. I know it.
The animators know exactly what they're fucking doing. And again, like questions that like make me know that I can't fuck with someone. If I bring up like who's a cartoon that you would make out with, and they're like, "Ew, what? What the fuck?" It's like then we're not going to get along.
Yeah, this won't work.
This isn't going to work because like it's like don't fucking lie to me.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like when you're watching cartoons young, especially like cartoons that are supposed to be real life, it's like, hello, the whole point is that you get lost in it.
Yes.
And you're a fucking hormonal kid.
I'm like, Balto was hot as fuck. Kevin Bacon yes. did his voice. Like, yeah. Oh. Don't fucking at me. I also loved, oh my God, there was this show on Channel 11 or PBS called The Puzzle Place. And I had the biggest.
Oh my God, yeah.
I had the biggest crush on that puppet named Sky. And I remember.
Oh my God.
Parents thought it was so funny because I would like walk around the house being like my boyfriend Sky. Like I was like five and I'd like talk about Sky like we were like dating and my parents were like, he's a puppet.
And it's get, okay.
They thought it was so funny. I would get so defensive. I'd be like, Sky and I are in love. And you don't so much for going on this journey with me.
Absolutely.
Who would your celeb bestie be and why?
My celeb bestie would probably be... See, now this is the kind of question where for me, it's like if somebody answers... If I ask somebody this question and they say like Chrissy Teigen or something, I'm like...
I was thinking that in my head.
Like, oh my God. I'm like, no. Jennifer Lawrence. Like, No. No. I feel like me and Natasha Lyonne could like really have some fun together at a bar.
Oh, like a dive bar.
Yeah. Like I feel like she'd be so fun to get drunk with. She'd be so fun to just like chain smoke with after I'm too drunk. Like I just would love that.
Yes. Like you would be having like heart to hearts, like in the back alley of the dive bar, like smoking cigarettes, just like telling all your deepest, darkest secrets to each other.
Yes.
Even though it's like your first time hanging out.
Yeah, like we would just, I feel like her and I would connect. Like I would just feel it and know, and it would be amazing. What about you?
Oh my gosh. I feel like this changes all the time. And it's also like, anytime I have a guest ask me a question that I ask every week, I like the second I stop recording, I'm like, oh, that's who it would be.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like I would be friends with, I say this all the time. I mean, I would love to be friends with Jonathan Van Ness. Yeah. Or Tan France. I mean, Tan France, I would love to go shopping with. Jonathan, I feel like we could have really deep, like, beautiful conversations together where, like, we're both crying and just, like, building each other up and, like...
Damn, yeah.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah, not Jennifer Lawrence, even in the slightest. Not Anna Kendrick, even in the slightest.
I also feel like I could possibly... I feel like I'd have a lot of fun with... I like Alexa Chung. Like, I, like, live for Alexa Chung. I've always liked her a lot.
Love.
And she's a real, like... chain smoker, whiskey drinker kind of gal. And I like that.
Yes. Like I just, again, no one with resting rich face, but right. Someone who has like a down to earth vibe. Like Alexa Chung is like the OG influencer. Like she was famous for just existing.
Yes. Literally.
And she did it so seamlessly and so genuinely that I just remember being like, oh, you know who my celebrity bestie would be? Betty Who.
Wow, that's a deep cut, and I love that.
Okay, this is why I like don't. I sometimes don't even understand that like Betty Who's a deep cut. Like to me, I'm like she's so top of mind for me because I've loved her for so long.
Yeah,
like I remember when her first EP came out, and I was like, "This is the music I've been searching for my entire life."
Oh, it's so good, and it's so like timeless.
It's so timeless. It's so like 80s infused. Like she's incredible.
It was basically like I feel like her music was like. Carly Rae Jepsen's rebrand pre-Carly Rae Jepsen, right?
Yes! Carly Rae Jepsen is my other queen!
Yeah, Carly for sure. I'd be like, can we just get drunk and listen to Emotion together? I just want to watch you listen to it. Yes. I want to watch you sing it.
I just want to like be in the stew with Carly, like drinking and just having to be like, dun, 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 dun. Like, you know how like Taylor never sings the words? Like she's like a dance choreographer when she listens to her music where she's like, it's like a lot of hand work. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like when she's writing a song and she's like, like I feel like Carly would do that too, and I just want to be in a studio with her like drinking and like listening to Emotion.
Who would your night like who is a celebrity that you feel like would be a nightmare friend?
Oof.
Just somebody that you could see being friends with, but like you know you have like friends in middle school that you like hate. You're like, I fucking hate you, honestly.
Yes. And I always say there's two types of friends, like from junior high. There was a friend where like you would go to their house and you would like play school. And it's like you would kind of be excited for your mom to come get you. And then there would be the friends where you're like, we're going to play Barbies and things are going to get dirty. And like we see each other on this.
Oh my God, yes. You're like, we're going to make our Barbie's crotches rub together for whatever reason. I don't know, but we're going to do it and we both know.
Yes, exactly. And like we get it and it's fine. Mm-hmm. But like, and I always say, like, I want to be that friend to everyone. Like, I want to be the friend where, like, you can have your Barbies rub crotches in front of me. And, like, you can trust me. It's okay.
Yeah. We're just going through whatever.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, what celebrity would be a nightmare? Oh, honestly, though, like, I think Chrissy is kind of scary.
Yeah. I think that she would honestly be my choice. I'm not even kidding.
Were you thinking Chrissy?
I was thinking her and also another really random one, but Christina Aguilera.
There are so many negative murmurings about Christina Aguilera that like lead us to believe she wouldn't be a blast.
I mean, like for Pink to admit on national television that she almost slapped her across the face is like I've never heard any female singer speak positively about her since we were like 12. Ever.
That's wild. Wait.
Ever.
Also didn't know that that happened.
Yeah, Pink almost beat her up when they did Lady Marmalade together.
I would, that's terrifying. Like, you would not win a fight against Pink. Like, the proverbial you. Like, nobody would.
No, and that was like, you know, tiny, little, skinny, bow-legged Christina. Could you imagine?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
She just seems so mean and like really, really, really jealous. You know, mm-hmm. like really like vindictive and like not supportive of other people's, like, she just seems so mean.
That kind of diva.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, if Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey could sing that song on the Prince of Egypt soundtrack and support each other, then anyone can support anyone.
Hello. Like, girl. And like in the early 2000s, it's like, who do you even think you are? Like, is Christina one of the most talented women of all time? Of course, her voice is unreal. But yes. At the same time, it's like, in 2002, who did you think you were? I'm going to be mean to Mariah Carey.
Yes, like you've been famous for 3 years. Like, get a grip. Right.
Yeah, and you're famous as like a duplicate of another person's fame.
Right.
So like,
right.
I don't know. Christina, that could just be like middle school shit come like bubbling beneath the surface for me.
You know who else I think would be a fucking nightmare?
Who?
Lauren Conrad. Speaking of middle school
shit. Wait. Lauren is my answer. Can we delete everything I said about Christina, actually?
Yes, honestly, like, I'm afraid of talking shit about Chrissy because I just feel like, you know, someone will come after me.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Or Alex Cooper from Call Her Daddy. I'm afraid of, like, I want to do an impression of her so bad, but I'm so afraid of Daddy Gang, like, coming after me. I'm like, no,
yeah, I get it. It's not worth it.
No, I think of, like, Alex Cooper in, like, a lime green bikini, like the Wicked Witch of the West, being like, go after her, Daddy Gang, and Daddy Gang, like, flying through the sky, like the monkeys in Wizard of Oz, like, da-da-da-da-da-da, like, coming for me.
Be like, get her!
Yeah. No, but Lauren Conrad, I feel like it's a nightmare.
Oh my god, I can't believe that Lauren Conrad is my answer. She's always been my answer to that question. Like, nightmare. She is a... Do you know, I just watched a video that was recommended on YouTube of hers. I think it was for like Elle magazine or something. And she was like going through all of her old looks.
Mm.
And they were all the same. And they all looked exactly how she looks now. She's like, in this one, I went really heavy on the lipstick, and she's wearing like a mauve colored chapstick. I'm like, girl, you are literally like, ugh, so annoying.
It's like you're giving yourself too much credit. Like, you, in your own mind, you're a lot more interesting than you are. Like, I promise
1,000%. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was always a Kristen girl, like for a reason.
Because you're smart.
Because I'm like, if I were Kristen, I would fucking hate Lauren too. Like, she's trying to fuck your boyfriend 100% of the time, and they've already fucked. And then she's like having him over late at night to go in like her hot tub that's not even filled with water yet. Like, come on.
And like buying his, it's like, you can date Kristen, but wealthy as fuck. Like, she like bought his affection, and everybody knows that.
Yes.
She's like, look at my new house that is in development that literally is, we've built into a mountain.
Built it into a fucking mountain. Like, I also always thought that it was wild that she looks just like her dad, but she's still pretty.
I know, she's so pretty. She really is so beautiful.
I remember watching episodes and just wanting to have her straight across smile so bad. She'd be like, some girls smile like this, but I smile like this.
And yeah.
Like, I think you are the cutest girl that I have ever seen, Lauren. He's like, hello, babe, you look stunning. I'm like, Brody is such a fucking monster.
You always knew that she was being like wacky because she would stick her little tongue out.
Yeah, she'd get it. Yeah.
Lauren was the fucking worst. Oh, gosh. I mean, Lauren is like, She's like the OG reality TV villain for me. I'm not even kidding.
She is. I felt so gaslit by that show. I was like, I don't like her. And she would always on dates be like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like she just rest.
You're cute.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm like, what are y'all even talking about? Like, and also like, let's talk about like the city. Like Olivia Palermo was a bitch, but right. She gave me everything I needed.
Oh, I mean, she was interesting and she dressed amazing. I mean, like even like, I've seen episodes recently of that show just like because it's on demand. And even now, I'm like 10 years later, everything she's wearing is fucking chic as
yes.
Fuck.
Like
so chic.
Classic Chanel.
Yeah. Yes. Like timeless.
Puts her, she's literally like Emily Blunt in The Devil Wears Prada. Like puts her like personal. I was like, hi, Whitney. How are you? She's like, I'm not even like engaging in this conversation right now with her little like curls in the front that are like, yes. Perfectly Blair Waldorf.
Yeah, she was like perfect at all times.
Yeah.
And I also loved Whitney, our like manic pixie dream girl. Like I loved like boho Whitney.
Boho Whitney wearing like cowboy boots and like a skirt to her Teen Vogue right. interview with like a thick belt. Meanwhile, like Lawrence yes. in like a black dress and like patent leather pumps, like didn't have any innovation.
She's like in her best Old Navy wedge at work. I'm like, girl, you are. And like Olivia was like too, like she was, should have been working for like Elle.
Yes.
Beyond the point of like a teen magazine, but like Whitney was Teen Vogue.
Whitney was like the essence of Teen Vogue. Like she was mm-hmm. a true innovator. She like was like the cool Cali girl, but whose fashion sense like extended beyond Cali. Like she knew
yes. up. Yes. She's like the girl Urban Outfitters like tries to like design for.
Literally always and forever. I had a camp counselor that was like best friends with Whitney. And like my camp counselor was like in an episode of The Hills. And like she had one line where she goes, oh, is this Gavin? Like that they were talking about some Gavin guy. And I remember being like, oh my God, my counselor's in The Hills. And I thought it was the coolest holy thing ever. Shit. And my counselor like did not like me and like was not nice to me. And I remember like calling her and being like, oh my God, you were on The Hills. And she never responded to me literally ever again.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Like you're 6 degrees separated from Whitney.
Oh my God, so close to Whitney. It's not even funny. Do you have a revenge fantasy? And if so, what is it?
A revenge fantasy. I guess I do have I have a revenge fantasy. The person in my life that is like not a family member that I've hated that I hate the most, I guess, was this girl. Actually, I told you I used to live in Chicago for a little while and I moved there with this girl that I didn't know that well. Mm-hmm. And everybody like told me that I shouldn't live with her. They were like, you shouldn't live with her. Like she's crazy. It's not going to end well. But I just like wanted to live in Chicago so bad. Mm-hmm. I wanted the experience and it was a nightmare and I didn't know anybody there. And I was like young and I was like, she just like tortured me the whole time. And we've never spoken again since it was like a million years ago and I left and we never spoke again. And I only was able to just like stir about it for the rest of my life, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess she would be like my Kill Bill revenge fantasy.
Yes. I had one. Get some closure. I hate that. Like the thought of someone being mean to you, like it makes me want to like go full pink on Christina Aguilera yeah. and slap them in the face.
Dude, she was like manipulatively mean because it was like fun for her. She was like a really like perfect example of her just being like manipulative and mean because it was like fun. I'm not using the word manipulative correctly, but it's fine. She would like when I was like planning on moving there, it was like around Christmas time. And I was like, well, obviously I want to like spend Christmas with like my mom. My mom's a single mom. Like it's just me and her. And I was like, I'm going to spend Christmas here because my mom has literally never had me not be home for Christmas. And it was like weeks away. So it would have made no difference. And she was like, oh, well, if you don't move now, like, you can't live here.
What?
And I was like, what? That's the face I made. I was like, what? What do you mean? And she's like, if you don't leave right now, like, if you don't leave before Christmas, like, you can't move in. So I hauled ass. I was like, okay, well, I guess I got to, like, tell my mom I'm leaving the week before Christmas. So I go, and I'm there in Chicago alone. She goes home for Christmas. Left me alone.
What a psychopath.
Just crazy weird shit where I'd be like just red flags everywhere, but I was like you know, I was young and I didn't, yeah, it was a nightmare.
That's the worst. I'm so sorry that happened to you, first of all.
It's okay.
That's so fucked up. I will slap her in the face like Pink if I ever see her, meet her, whatever. But also, like, it's so fucked up when you're like a nice person and you're like, I know, like, where you get taken advantage of because, like, you're like, I'm, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but like, you've said you're a very nice person. You are a very nice person. And I don't see you as someone who's super confrontational, who's going to be like, what the fuck? No,
yeah.
I'm, you know, like, or yeah, maybe not at that time. Like, especially when you're young and you're like, you feel like everything is so high stakes. You're like, I just want to live in Chicago. I just want to get out of here.
Yeah. I just wanted to, yeah, I just wanted to live. I'm not confrontational, but I'm not, I have like, I almost have like dual personalities.
Love.
You know what I mean? I'm either like full on like Lynn Curtin, mm-hmm, just happy to be here selling my cuffs, mm-hmm, or I'm Bethany in the Berkshires.
I love that.
You know what I mean? I'm like either here or there. And like in that situation, it was her place. It was her furniture. It was her, I'm paying her to live here. So I was like, I have to walk on eggshells. And yeah, it was just like, it was unbelievable.
Oh my God. Well, I'm glad you're no longer in that situation. And also, great revenge fantasy. I hope someday you get some sort of closure, or like she just like sees you like, you know, at the top of the podcast charts or something. And she's like, what?
I would pray to God that I would have somebody filming her face when she's like, at any moment that I'm able to like make some sort of difference in her life.
Yes, negative impact. And like just fuck up her whole day because you're like driving so hard and she's not. Do you have a hype up song? And if so, what is it?
I have a couple hype up songs. One of them is Throw Some D's. If you grew up in the early 2000s.
Yes.
It just is what it is. I love like an old like Kiss FM rap song from like 2003, like literally. Yeah. I love like old early 2000s rap is like where I thrive. Like Ja Rule.
So good.
Any like Ja Rule song featuring like Lil Mo, I'm like down for.
Oh, I love it. What song? I love Ying Yang Twins. Recently, I was listening to Ying Yang Twins. I was like, wow, I feel like I'm in like seventh grade and this is like incredible.
Like learning how to twerk.
Yes. me just dancing like a hoe at Bat and Bar Mitzvahs with like a face full of braces. Like takes me right back. I just wanted to be Britney Spears so bad and it was never going to happen.
So bad.
What's something considered quote aspirational that you don't have yet, but you want?
Something aspirational that I don't have that I want, probably like an adult. Like I feel like I'm in like a transition apartment. Mm-hmm. Like where I live right now feels transitional. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's not like the place that I'm going to live.
Yeah.
And I just think it would be really like, it'd be really cool to be in a place where I'm like, this is my adult like home. Yes. And it's like all of the things that I need, the amenities that I over time have realized that I need in my life are here.
Like checks every fucking box.
Yes. Every box is checked. I can afford it. I'm not in debt living here. Like, it's just like, I'm where I should be, you know?
I love that for you. It's going to happen. Manifest it all day. Manifest it all night. I will write about it in my gratitude journal.
Please.
Like, oh my gosh. Love that. Love that so much. I love that question too, because I feel like I had one friend that was like AirPods. And then I've had like two friends be like a house. But I do feel like living is such a like direct, like, it just makes you feel so in your worth to be in a space that you feel like you deserve, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like absolutely. There's nothing worse than like, you know, like we had like a rat problem recently and I was like, you know, obviously I love my living situation, but I was like, oh, like I go to get a glass of water and like, there's a rat on my counter. Like, it's not what you want. Like,
yeah, it's not what I'm living for. I'm not living for the rat's gig.
When I go to get a snack and there's, you know, rat turds on my counter, like it's not what I dreamed of.
You know, when I lived in Chicago, we had a rat living on our wall. And, like, city rats are, like, a whole different... They're, like, actual X-Men rats.
They're like, literally... I was going to say, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, four yeah. feet long. Like, what the fuck do you eat?
And I called... I could hear it. Like, I would literally sometimes be sleeping, and I would hear it, like, be walking through the wall, but then lose its footing and, like, blinko through the drywall and, so, like hitting... parts
oh,
of the wall
shit. like a pinball.
Yes, like I could hear his body being like ping, 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 to like the ground, and I called an exterminator and I was like, we have a rat in the wall, and like I'm scared of it. Like I've seen it. I went out into the laundry room, I saw it, and like it was mean, it was aggressive, it didn't like run away from me, it like really? Ran me off. Yeah. So then I was like, is it like rabid? And the lady goes, what side of town do you live on? And I was like, oh, I live on the west side. And she goes, those will fight you. And I'll never forget it for the rest of my life.
Did it get taken care of?
I think so. I'm pretty sure we laid down some kind of toxins somewhere for it to die. But it was like mean. Like it wanted me to know, bitch, I will fuck you up.
Like the teeth, like red eyes. Like
yes. Like a lot of this, like that.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like a big cat, basically.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Those will fight ya.
Those will fight ya.
I always think of, like, the rat from, like Charlotte's Web that's like, I love to eat. Like, he just wants to roll around the circus and, like, eat some peanuts. And, like, while I identify with that rat on, like, a personal level, because, like, eating is, like, my favorite thing to do. I don't like in Charlotte's Web. It was like, oh, what a fun creature. Like Templeton is like my friend, but like as an adult, I'm like, I don't want to see Templeton like on my counter.
Yeah, no, there's like nothing worse than like a rodent invading your space. It's like unreal.
It's not aspirational, you know, mm-hmm. Bringing it full circle. Troy, yes. That was my last question. Do you have any final thoughts for the listeners?
Not that I can think of, just that I'm like so happy that we got to do this and I'm so obsessed with you.
I'm so obsessed with you. I'm like, when are you coming to LA? When can we go out? When will this hellscape of a virus be done?
I know. I was actually planning on coming not that long ago. Well, like pre-COVID. And then I was like, well, I don't even know when I'll be. I don't know now. I don't know anything anymore.
That's such a troll because like literally like you are now added to a list of like seven amazing people that were supposed to visit LA like pre-COVID, and then like COVID came and everyone one by one was like, hey, so I'm not going to make it anymore. Yeah. Yeah. I assumed, but it still sucks.
I'm not going to be leaving my living room for 5 months now. I won't be changing my clothes every day anymore. Oh, yeah. I hate that.
What's a shower? I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
I don't know her.
Yeah, I've never met her.
Troy, this was truly just a joy and a half. Thank you so, so much for your time, your thoughtful answers, for being here, for being you. I just love you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was literally like a privilege. I'm not even kidding.
No, stop. It was a privilege to have you. Where can my listeners find you? Plug everything, please.
Okay, so my podcast is called Dunzo, D-U-N-Z-O, !! The exclamation point helps to find it easier. It's on all the things, iTunes and Stitcher and stuff. I'm doing bonus content on patreon.com/solidlisten. Right now I'm rewatching all of Being Bobby Brown and yes. White knuckling it to not cry every fucking week talking about Whitney Houston.
I don't know. I mean, you're making some major sacrifices for your art.
Thank you. I'm happy to know that it's being seen.
Yes. Y'all follow Troy, listen to his pod, Dunzo !! Thank you so much, Jim, for being here.
Of course. Thank you.
And we'll see you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.